Halloween. The law books are familiar with the holiday. There's a lot of legal precedent out there inspired by some of our most beloved Halloween traditions. Take, for example, those large orange lawn bags that resemble jack-o'-lanterns when filled with leaves. You know the ones. They're cute the first time you see them, but look a little dated, donned with a cap of December snow. Those huge pumpkin heads have been the subject of several patent lawsuits. Everybody wants a piece of the pie, it seems. And judges in various jurisdictions have struggled with whether a patent-titled bag showing vertical stripes and happy and scary jack-o'-lantern faces on opposing sides, commonly known as the giant stuff-a-pumpkin, is infringed when a competitor develops an otherwise similar product with only one face and no vertical lines, for example. Imagine how years of legal training helped judges through that analysis. The court in the case squashed the infringement claim. The second bag was different enough in key ways. You'll take a second look at those pumpkin bags when you're driving by and see one next spring now, won't you? Just like you will the artificial vampire fangs your coworker wears in a feeble attempt to spread good Halloween cheer. Those two have been the subject of biting litigation. Custom Dracula fangs versus professional fangtastics, a case involving a patent and a contract not to compete. It all started when Custom Dracula fangs patented its product, showing it helped people whose artificial fangs fell out at Halloween parties, quoting here from the patent abstract, causing the masquerader the embarrassment of losing virility as to the character he or she is performing. Using as precedent a case involving a dentist's office, the court struck down the non-competition agreement, which means that the professional fangtastics people can sell their artificial vampire fangs even though they'd previously agreed never to sell a product that contained any fang element, whatever that means. And then there are the mask cases, one involving animal nose masks and copyrights, another copyright case involving a mask called, fasten your seatbelts, Unleashed Wickedness. But perhaps it's most appropriate to tell you about a mask case out of Nevada, one touching on two fall holidays, Halloween and Election Day. The unfortunate case of Thomas Price, whose job it was to parade about a Reno establishment wearing a giant mask of George Bush the Elder. The Bush head was heavy, cumbersome, and oversized. And one day, some club patron came up and confronted Mr. Bush, Mr. Price, about his stance on an important domestic issue. The patron, as the court put it, ignited by the sight of an oversized caricature of a prominent political figure and disagreeing with his politics, apparently pushed the Bush head, with Mr. Price inside it, to the floor. Mr. Price sued the Bush head maker for his neck injuries and convinced the appellate court that his lawsuit should be put before a jury. The appeals court reasoned that jurors could hold the company liable for making a Bush head that was, well, no lightweight. That it should have foreseen the possibility or probability of some violent reaction on the part of a somewhat overzealous member of the body politic to such a mask. And that it should have developed a safety harness or some other helpful device to protect the innocent non-politico inside. It's tempting right now to talk about getting inside George W. Bush's head or the breakneck pace of the campaign, but I won't. That's next week. Happy Halloween. I'm Amy Guida.